Welcome again to Vespers tonight. My name is Eric Holland. I'm the pastor here at Holden. And preaching tonight at worship is Nadia Boltz-Weber, pastor of House for All Sinners and Saints in Denver, Colorado. She's also gathered a number of other folks to help lead us in worship tonight. A note about the music at House for All Sinners and Saints. They sing everything a cappella, unaccompanied. And so we're going to sing together that way tonight as well. Once again, welcome to worship.
Let us pray. Wounded God, disabled and divine, give us faith to perceive you, pierced and embodied, standing here among us, feeding us forgiveness, beautifully broken, through Jesus Christ, the suffering servant. Amen.
Our opening hymn this evening is number 807, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. 807, will you please stand?
Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, to my heart to sing Thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. While the hope of endless glory fills thy heart with joy and love, teach me ever to adore thee. May I still thy goodness prove.
A reading from the book of Acts. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does this prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Grace, peace, and mercy is yours from the triune God. Amen. As many of you know, in a few weeks, the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, will be meeting in church-wide assembly, the legislative body for our denomination. For more than 10 years, this church has formally been talking about human sexuality. But much like the early church, who were convinced that Gentiles could only become Christians if they changed into being Jews first, which, for the record, involved a rather unpleasant process. Well, much like our first century brothers and sisters, there's a segment of the church today who thinks that if we extend the roof of the tent to include the gays, then the whole thing will come crashing down around us. If we can't just ignore the gays till they go away, then at least we must evangelize them, i.e., change them into us before they will fit under our tent. Or else, the roof simply can't hold. Meanwhile, the other side of the church is all about inclusion. We must extend the tent to include the marginalized, the less fortunate, the minorities. But then we have this story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, a text which I have always heard about being about evangelism. The conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch, it was called in my Bible when I was growing up. I was always told that the message of this text is that we should tell everyone we meet about Jesus, because in doing so, we might save them. We might convert them. We might change them into being us. But today, I'm not so sure, because if the Ethiopian eunuch was reading Isaiah as he returned from Jerusalem, having gone there to worship, see, if he was reading Isaiah, then I would bet he was also familiar with Deuteronomy, specifically chapter 23:1, which says this: "No one whose testicles are cut off or whose penis is cut off shall be admitted to the assembly of the Lord." Now, hands up if that was a memory verse when you were growing up. This law strictly forbids a eunuch from entering the assembly of the Lord. Their transgression of gender binaries and their inability to fit in proper categories made them profane by nature. They do not fit in the tent. But the eunuch went to Jerusalem to worship, despite the fact that in all likelihood he would be turned away by the religious establishment. The eunuch sought God anyway. See, when the Spirit guided Philip to the road in the desert, I like to think that she guided him to his own conversion. As he approached the chariot, he might have been thinking, okay, I'll just read him some select scriptures until I can change him, until he can become what I am comfortable with. But when Philip joined this person who sought to worship God despite his exclusion from the tent, maybe it was Philip himself who was converted to the faith. It was perhaps even a mutual conversion. Maybe because they simply asked each other questions in the desert. Go back, look at this text. The only imperatives come from the Holy Spirit. Philip and the eunuch only ask each other questions. The only commandments come from God. And the command was to go and join. Go and join the other. What we don't know is if the Spirit also gave the eunuch a command to invite. Invite this nice Jewish boy, representative of all that clings to the law and rejects you from God's house. Invite him to sit by you. It's okay. Go, join, invite, ask questions. Perhaps Philip, in his encounter with this gender-transgressive foreigner, learned what seeking the Lord looks like. A couple weeks ago, Stuart, a member at House for All Sinners and Saints, the ELCA mission start that I serve, showed up to liturgy wearing slacks and a button-down shirt, rather than his normal, ironic, grease monkey jacket and jeans. And earlier that day, he had stood as godfather and baptismal sponsor for the child of his friends, a straight couple who have known Stuart for a number of years. Stuart had come to our church after having come out of an ex-gay ministry. A few years ago, Stuart was told that in order to be right with God, to be in God's church, he had to be changed into what the church felt comfortable with. They tried to make him straight through prayer and coercion, and just for the record, that doesn't work. So anyway, Stuart came to church all dressed up. Apparently, after the baptism, there was a little reception back at this couple's house. To Stuart's surprise, his friends got all their guests' attention so they could say a few words about why they had chosen Stuart as their child's godparent. "We chose you, Stuart," they said, "because for most of your life, you have pursued Christ and Christ's church, even though as a gay man, all you've heard from the church is that there is no love for you here." I heard that story as his friend saying, "You, Stuart, convert us again and again to this faith." All many of my parishioners have heard, and maybe some of you have heard, is that the tent is simply not big enough unless you change to fit in it. Change your sexuality, your personality, your doubting. Change your addictive patterns, your story, your brokenness. And if you can't, then just pretend. Yet there they are, week after week, God using them to convert me once again to this faith. Because how can I even know what it means to follow Christ unless I learn it from someone who's done so despite every obstacle possible? That's why I am so in awe of those in our community who have heard again and again, "There's no love for you here unless you let us change you into who we feel comfortable with you being." And not just the queers either. Also those who have the wrong personality or the wrong socioeconomic status or gender or immigration status or politics to fit under the tent. I think maybe that we can't actually know what this Jesus following thing is about unless we too have the stranger show us. This is far more than inclusion. Inclusion isn't the right word at all, because it sounds like in our niceness and virtue, we're allowing them to join us. A Like we're judging another group of people to be worthy to be part of this thing. Inclusion seems like a small thing, like a charity, a mercy. But the truth is, we need the equivalent of our Ethiopian eunuch to show us the faith. We continually need the stranger, the foreigner, the other, to show us where there's water in the desert. We need to hear, here is water in the desert. What keeps me, the eunuch, from being baptized? Or me, the queer? Or me, the intersexed? Or me, the illiterate? Or me, the neurotic or the overeducated? Or me, the founder of Focus on the Family? Until we face the difficulty of that question and come up, as Philip did, with no answer, until then, we just look at the seemingly limited space in the tent, and we think that either it's our job to change people so they fit, or it's our job to extend the tent so they fit. But either way, it's misguided, because it's not our tent. It's God's tent. The wideness of the tent of the Lord should only concern us insofar as it points to the gracious nature of a loving God who became flesh and entered into our humanity. The wideness of the tent should only concern us insofar as it points to the great love and promise of a God who welcomes us all as friends. So maybe here in this story of the conversion of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch is some hope for the church. That under God's really big tent, we might ask questions, invite those who represent the establishment and the marginalized to come and sit by us, stay in the scriptures, be converted anew by the strange and the stranger, to see where it is that water is in the desert, and to enter fully into the waters of God's mercy with the foreigners and the not us. And to go on our way rejoicing, having converted each other to this beautiful, dangerous, expansive life of faith. Amen.
Our hymn of response is 779, Amazing Grace, hymn 779. Let's stand and sing.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now
Go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render no unto people for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. And the blessing of the triune God, eternal majesty, incarnate word, and abiding spirit rest upon you this day.